Good morning. It is Monday, September the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And if you're in the United States, today is a holiday. We call it Labor Day, which ironically is a day we're given off from work. So go figure. I'll probably be working. But it is so good to be meeting with you this morning with Jesus Christ as we prepare for this day. Our beginning point, as always, the prayer of consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled Sin Swamp. Got to go through it. Our text, Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And if you're so inclined, I'd encourage you to read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 2. I've just been thinking it might be a good idea to read the whole chapter each day of the chapter that we're in, just as a way of immersion in Scripture. We're learning to cover less ground more slowly. And we're reading for immersion, not extraction. We're trying to get down into the depths of this letter. We're not rushing our way through. We're not coming in trying to find something relevant for our life. We're trying to become immersed in the gospel, who is Jesus Christ. So hear now the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. I remember as a kid being led through the follow the leader type exercise called the bear hunt. The leader would speak and make hand gestures and the kids would follow suit. I remember you would take your hands and you would kind of pat them in a rhythmic way on your legs. Like, we're going on a bear hunt. And you say, we're going on a bear hunt. We come to a swamp. We come to a swamp. Can't go over it. Can't go over it. You with me? Can't go under it. Your turn. Got to go. Can't go around it. Can't go around it. Got to go through it. You hear me? This was followed by all manner of hand gestures and sound effects as we made our way through the swamp. Then we would come to the next obstacle and repeat the process. Well, today we come to Sin Swamp, and we've got to go through it. There is no getting over, under, or around it. While sin is not creative, it is sophisticated. As a general principle, I maintain that our understanding of the gospel will go about as deep as our understanding of sin. We've already begun with some discussion on the difference between capital S sin and lowercase s sins. We need to back up further now to get a better grasp of what sin even is. We think we know until we're asked. So often I've heard sin defined as a willful transgression of a known law. I want to respond, okay, so now what? This is to see sin primarily in a forensic or legal framework. I want us to understand sin at a deeper level. You'll remember last week we referenced the definition in Romans 1, verse 25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. Here's my take. Sin is the breaking of the singular commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I took that from Mark 12, 30 and 31. Far beyond the concept of a moral failure, sin is relational disintegration. It is the destruction of ourselves through the breaking of our relationship with God and the breakdown of our relationships with other people. It leads to the desecration of all creation. It's why the opposite of sin is not morality or good behavior, but love. Sin is the failure of human beings to love God, to love themselves in the way God loves them, and thereby the failure to love other people with the love of God. This is a singular yet comprehensive failure, for to fail at any one of them is to fail at all of them. This is why sin, which is the failure of love, leads to the destruction of people, their relationships, and the creation we were commissioned to steward for God's glory. This is why God hates sin, because sin destroys love. And this, my friends, is where the wrath of God comes into the picture. A wrathful God is not a rage-filled, angry parent who wants to punish their children as though a payback would somehow solve the problem or prevent it from happening again. God's wrath is His righteous anger at anyone and anything that would desecrate and destroy His creation, especially His image bearers. This is the point of judgment and justice. This is why members of the human race, as members of the human race, we are doomed. God hates sin because sin destroys love. However, it does not follow that God hates sinners. and this is the very essence of the gospel itself, God loves sinners. And he would not only save them from sin, but save them for glory. This is the point of mercy and grace. This is how the human race, as the human race, we can be saved. Hear this text, Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us, in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? By the way, it looks like we will be days, if not weeks, here in Sin Swamp. Better get some extra bug spray. Let's pray. Jesus, we belong to you. Yes, Jesus, I belong to you. Jesus, you are the gospel. I confess I have a way of trivializing sin. I also tend to think only of how sin affects me, rather than about how it desecrates other people. I think of sin as my failure to act rightly, rather than as my failure to love. Awaken me to reality such that I can understand the cost of my sin to others, to myself, and to you. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a couple of journal prompts for us today. I hope you're journaling, engaging with this revelation that Jesus is bringing us through his word. I want to know, how does this way of understanding sin deepen your understanding of the gospel? And how do you push back against it, if at all? I find that most people, this is not how we've been taught to think about sin. We think about it as bad behavior, as moral failure, as doing wrong or doing bad. And notice how all of that points back to us and our failure. What I'm trying to get at is, how does sin destroy others? Right? How does my action destroy other people, myself, and my relationship with God? How does it grieve the heart of God? I mean, you know, I think about my own kids growing up and how, you know, if one of them would do wrong, it might be hard to get them to even come to grips with it and own it and admit that they had done wrong, much less confess it. And if they did so, it would be because, man, maybe they'd been caught, or maybe they were trying to avoid a harsher penalty for their failure. So they'd say, okay, I'm wrong, I did it. But the real important thing, think about it as a parent. Like, let's just think, what if the sin was lying about a brother or sister, like telling a flat lie about them? That's in the Ten Commandments. That would be, you shall not bear false witness. I mean, this is a whole nother conversation we could get into about the Ten Commandments, and to notice that every sin that gets committed in the Ten Commandments is actually not just some sort of a failure of a person. It's against God. It's against creation, Think about the Sabbath. It's against parents, dishonoring your parents. It's against like murder, adultery, theft. That's against other people. That's harming other people. Bearing false witness, coveting, all that. Yeah, it is my failure, but the bigger issue is what kind of damage have I done to someone else? How have I failed to love? This is the shift we got to make. This is the breakdown of love. The opposite of sin is not perfect behavior. It's not some sort of righteousness, you know, which often is just self-righteousness. The opposite of sin is not moral perfection. The opposite of sin is love. I want you to think about it. I want you to journal about it. But my kids, yeah, you think about what I'm saying. They're going to be, I wanted them to understand how lying about one of the other siblings hurt them. How it hurt the other sibling, how it hurt their reputation, how it hurt their witness, their own sense of self. To be lied about, to bear false witness against someone, it hurts. It's defamation, it's slander that hurts somebody. And then think about how it hurt me as their dad to see them coming at each other like that. And then think about how it actually hurt them. It caused for them to go against what they knew was right. It damaged their own integrity. You see how sin just rips, destroys, tears the fabric of all of life. We got to get a better understanding of sin, team, if we're going to get a better understanding of what real righteousness is. Righteousness is rightness of relationship. It's love. All right, we're going to sing a song today. This is one that is by an old friend, Charlie Hall, called Clean Hands. I'm just going to lead us in it. I'm going to sing it through maybe a couple times. It's a repentance song. And repentance, again, guys, we got to get an understanding of repentance. It's not just turning away from bad behavior. No, it's actually turning full frontal facing to God, to Jesus. Repentance is running to Jesus. This song comes from Psalm 24, Clean Hands. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols, so give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, who seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Yeah. If you want to hear that again, play it back. Y'all know I'm not a singer. It's not about that. It's about heart. It's about posture before God. And there's something about songs like that that can take us there. Well, that's a good place to leave it today. Maybe I can put a link to that song sung maybe a little bit better. Again, it's not about that. Don't write me and say, hey, you're doing fine. It's okay. And remember, I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to God. And you better be singing with me. I'm singing with you. And I'm just trying to show you that it's not about being a singer. It's about being a worshiper, and we're made to sing, whether we think we can sing or not. We live in such a performance culture. It's time to leave that all behind. There's some repentance a lot of us need to do. It's not about performance. It's about passion, the deep heart longing, yearning, running after God. So good to be with you today on this Monday. And thanks for walking through the sin swamp. We're going to be in here a while. Romans, early Romans, you got our understanding of the gospel will not go deeper or beyond our understanding of sin. And we have a very evangelicalism, whatever you want to call it, has given us a very anemic understanding of sin. It's become legalism. It's become about me and about you, not about God, not about our neighbor, which is Jesus' concern. So, let's go for it. Listen, hope you're getting some rest today on Labor Day. I look forward to being back here with you tomorrow. We've won the day because we've won the morning. And for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt, and I'll see you on the field.